friends that he was God or love manifested, I think, was the whole thing, that he was a living manifestation of cosmic love. And that started Love is Real. He became Love is Real. And the rest is history. A highly concentrated communal society with a shared economy and a social network of autonomous households that interacted through a shared culture, which is basically hippie stuff, smoking weed, procreating, talking about all kinds of cosmic stuff, and getting absolutely nothing done. But it did go on throughout the 1980s. We're going to hear some off-the-cuff tape recordings from one of their get-togethers. It sounds like this is from a fireside camp retreat thing. Last time I played something from the Love is Real family, I almost blew up the station because it sounded so bad. Hopefully that will happen again tonight, and maybe our dreams will come true. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org.
rejoice among the stars. Let me hear the yodels, conicals, and kagiras. In other words, bleed my ears. In other words, caterjack me, Jack. Oh, overtones and whistles, holler shanties and galas, harmonies from tenores and hocketing barcas. In other words, auctioneers. In other words, Shuby Taylor. Fry me vocal fry, play me some Dada from Yacht Blanc. Field recordings, interviews, and growls from Dave Van Ronk. In other words, purple haze. In other words, Ema Sumac. Jack, Wally Cox is eefing, and that Okinawan bounce. Track and album titles that you just cannot pronounce. In other words, in other words, vocal fry.
Drops a song. Because we do it raw, ignoring every law. We're shattering the rules, we're tearing down the walls. Go and do the dance. Fall into the bubble trance. This is our last chance. We all go rhythm. All go rhythm. All go rhythm.
We must keep moving on. The past is dead and gone. No matter what you do, no one cares about your point of view.
You're listening to the song Algorithm off of the new Laibach album called Music. And we will be hearing now an interview that I had yesterday with Laibach's Ivan Novak. And thanks a lot to him for joining and talking to us on the program. Here you go. And we'll hear a little more of their music right after this.
Thanks.
I wanted to start off by asking if you can talk a little bit about your new record that's coming out. It's called Music, right?
Music. Music.
Music.
Music. Yeah. Sick of music, so to say. It was actually we recorded it last year already. Actually, we finished it last year in September, basically. And when we were thinking what to do, you know, that it would make some sense. We started to think about the current situation in music scene in general and music industry. And the whole algorithm dictatorship, so to say. And we came to this content.
Have you released any of the material that's on the record in the interim, like as singles or anything, or is this new?
Yeah, we've already released Algorithm, the song Algorithm. And the second single also, Music, also, yes. And there are videos for those. You should check out the videos.
Yes, I should know this. Can you talk a little bit about how this record and this approach to the topic of the algorithm connects with what Laibach has done throughout the years with sort of an exploration, I would say, of power and how it operates in culture?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically, again, here music is a kind of, I would say, metaphor for the general situation in society, which is obviously saturation, oversaturation of practically everything. You probably know that there has been apparently at least 100,000 new songs uploaded every day on the streaming services. And the very new information that we got just a few days ago with the merging of, with the deal that Suno did with Warner Brothers, they're actually talking about the several millions artificial intelligence songs created every day, several millions every day. I mean, already 100,000, 100,050 songs uploaded every day to the streaming services is basically more than, let's say, 1992 for the whole year. So this is the situation that we are that we have to face right now. And of course, this is not just the question of music, but in general, the question of we live in an information overload where, you know, nothing is truth, everything is possible, so to say. And yeah.
So how has that affected what Laibach does in terms of making music? I mean, you formed within the Soviet Yugoslavia.
Yeah, it wasn't really that Soviet. I mean, Yugoslavia was a little bit separated from the Soviet bloc, So it was, you know, it has formed the kind of, let's say, independent, you know, it was an independent communist country
Yes.
that has practiced non-aligned policy and, you know, created actually the non-aligned movement. So it was a little bit different than in Soviet Union. The other states, the other countries of Eastern Bloc actually saw Yugoslavia as a kind of special, you know, island of freedom, so to say. And we did have pretty much open borders and so on. So that was a little bit different. But yeah, sorry, what was the
No,
question?
that's good. I appreciate that. The situation in Yugoslavia when you formed was I'm thinking in terms of the avenues of for culture at the time.
Right.
And
We
I'm thinking in terms of, you know, comparing that now to the environment of oversaturation of music.
Yeah.
We're
I
talking about
mean,
the analog age, right? How difficult was it for you to obtain music or to put your music out?
well, we kind of started in so-called romantic times, yes, in 1980. Basically, that was in Yugoslavia. It was basically the same year, soon after Tito died. And of course, these were completely different times. I mean, as you say, analog times. And the decade that happened between 1980 and 1990, or till 1992. When Slovenia went independent, because Yugoslavia was kind of falling apart in economic and political terms, was actually the most uplifting time, and the time of you know, the rise of many new ideas and incredible social kind of happening and so on. This was also the time, at the same time, as you, I'm sure you're aware of, you know, the independent labels in UK, and not only in UK but all around the world. It was a time of the strong, let's say, punk scene, and all kinds of scene happened in the 80s, and of course there was no internet yet. At least not massively, in massive use. And no social medias. So everything made some sense. You know, everything that we did kind of made a lot of sense. I mean, for us, of course, we had to first of all try to understand where are we from, what are we trying to do, and how to actually put ourselves on the cultural and music scene, not only in Slovenia and ex-Yugoslavia, but also as wide as possible. So, very early in 1982, we actually wrote a manifest, and I have to say that that manifest is still very valid. It still exists, still makes a lot of sense. It's a kind of poetic manifest, but at the beginning, we have placed ourselves as a, you know, we didn't really want to be a regular rock and roll band and so on, because there were too many around. So we decided to go back in the past and try to see what were the most important moments in the history of music since the beginning of, let's say, 20th century on. With futurists and et cetera, with John Cage, if you want, with electronic revolution in serious music in 70s, Stockhausen, and later on within the popular music with Kraftwerk, and you know, further on with David Bowie and so on. So yes, we try to understand the wider context, and not only within music, but also within, you know, political events and you know, I don't know, films, art, and so on. And that's how we decided to create the band. We started in this very, very industrial small city in Slovenia, and we wanted to incorporate the aesthetics of the environment into our expression, musical expression. And that was, at the beginning, very strictly industrial sound, industrial ambiental sound, which means factories, you know, the repetitive rhythms, the whole aesthetics, and so on. And only later on we have expanded the this expression into, you know, different areas. But one of the key elements, one of the key inspirations for us, already back in 1982, and that's also stated in the manifest, was actually disco music as the one of the form of the repetitive, you know, industrial rhythm, sound, and so on. So this is what we are doing right now on this album. It's nothing new for us. But lots of fans, they believe that, this is, you know, Laibach is doing all, you know, some kind of British folk music now, and so on. But we were always interested in, you know, also in this other side, the other side of the darkness, and that's it. That's what, you know, it's hard to explain. But I personally think that we are doing basically the same thing as we did back in early 80s. But you know, since you were asking about the power, of course, power has transferred. It has mutated from a traditional analog, you know, political social situation into something that is nowadays, of course, difficult to understand. But it has definitely changed and mutated into a digital world, and we know exactly when it started. You know, it started beginning of 90s on a massive scale with the introduction of the CD format and the introduction of public internet, and that's where we are today.
When you did a song by song cover of the Beatles as a Laibach anthem,
right.
I understand what you're saying as a cultural touchstone and one of the sort of moments of important music in the 20th century.
Right.
But also it's a type of, it's taking something that is a common language among music listeners and very well known to people and reconfiguring it, recontextualizing it to tell a different story, to make a different story accessible to people through something that they know already. Now we have computers digesting our entire culture and creating music for other computers to listen to, apparently, because no humans can listen to millions of songs a day, right?
Mm.
So I wonder, what's the, you know, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, what's the difference, you know, the human intention versus the sort of random combination of the algorithm sort of digesting blindly the culture and then repeating it?
Right. This is absolutely, you know, the most relevant question, I would say, we actually got till now in regarding this album. And yes, I mean, one of the most important statements that we did very early back in 80s, we said, okay, you know, we do not believe in originality, which means that on the other hand, we don't believe in copies. I mean, and if you turn this statement into from and look at it from different sides, side, we believe that every copy is equally important as original material. Yes, because if you, even if you take, I don't know, we used to have photocopy machines, if you remember, and they were not very good. So if you take a copy of the same raw original material, yes, every copy actually looked different. So every copy, in some extent, was, this is the most simplified explanation, that every copy is basically, in a way, original. And yes, we took as our biggest inspiration, we were not interested in creating originals, but we were inspired by the entire history of art, history of music, and so on. Everything that existed before us was for us basically the basic material for, you know, recreation, and which is nothing new. I mean, we know that also in classical music, that, you know, also old classical masters, they kind of borrowed from each other and so on. And, you know, certain motifs were repeated and so on. But not only in music. This is normal that humanity actually is using what was there before. And that's, I think, very, very normal. So what your question, what's happening right now with artificial intelligence? Yes, exactly. Artificial intelligence is basically repeating the very same principle as we did it before. Humanity did it before. Yeah, and that's the, you know, we came back to the very question of authorship, of originality, and so on. These old romantic ideas that, you know, something can stand as unique and forever, but it's probably completely wrong. And you know, even Maria Antonietta, in, I don't know what century, 15th century, once said, nothing is original except what has been forgotten, which is, I think, a very clever statement from somebody like Maria Antonietta, who did not understand social context very much, and was offering people, you know, the cake. If they don't have any bread, why don't they eat cake, and so on. But this is the most relevant question in this context. What does it mean that the artificial intelligence is actually doing exactly the same thing as we did it before? But because it's because we live in a digital time, of course, this is multiplied by a million times. And this is the key question. You know, we are returning back to the question that was posed probably, I would say, already in the beginning of the previous century by, for instance, Marcel Duchamp, who was, you know, the big inventor of conceptual art, praising found objects as the original artistic objects. And they were considered to be artistic objects only by the decision. Decision here was important thing. You know, he used, I don't know, Mona Lisa, and he put the mustaches on Mona Lisa, things like that. He found the fountain, he put it in the museum, and so on. So that's this was a relevant thinking already in the beginning of the 20th century, and we are back into that start. You know, what is here original? What's actually ambient sound? I mean, John Cage had similar ideas, and of course Duchamp and Cage were, you know, very good friends, and I think this is something that will have to be, you know, we will have to re-question the whole thing. But of course, the whole production, the whole making of music, the whole perception of music, the whole distribution of music is going to change, and that's, and not only music, but generally the whole. This is the key problem, the key question now. How to actually correspond to this oversaturation of basically the very, you know, the I don't know how to explain, because I don't understand it myself. You know, we are trying to understand it ourselves, but it's practically impossible. But yes, we have suddenly faced the same old question. which goes actually back to Plato. You know, Plato has already put the very same question: is a picture of the, you know, the tree basically original, or is the tree original, to, you know, against the idea of the tree, etc., etc.? These are, you know, very old questions, and I think we will have to deal with them once again, and hopefully we will find a solution. But, you know, we can also say that the music as we know it, as we knew it, in 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it's over, and we will probably have to go somewhere else with, you know, what we are doing. I don't know.
As an artist, you're using tools all the time, and I think your access to tools has, you know, musical tools, musical instruments, musical technology has changed over time. Now you're confronting AI, and a lot of music tools now include AI, and AI is generating music. As an artist, how does Laibach approach using these kind of tools, especially in music and album, about the penetration of
right
surveillance? Yeah.
Well, to tell you the truth, last year when we started to work on the on this album, the AI was not yet developed as much as it is now, so we didn't really use it. We've kind of, you know, we've played a little bit with it, and we checked some things and so on. And we also basically, there's this one song on the album, the last one, the Göttliche Kind, AI, the Göttliche Kind, the alien intelligence, where we, in fact, asked AI how would it define itself as a, you know, as a divine child of whatever, human intelligence or whatever, or alien intelligence. And yes, he was a very, he really, you know, came out with this definition that we are using in the song, in the text. And he actually created a big lie to us, but he didn't, you know, admit, he didn't tell. This is something that we particularly like. Last year, AI was still, you know, talking lots of nonsense and create, and it had a big sense for hallucination and so on. And he invented, it actually invented the definition of itself on the basis, apparently, of Wagnerian opera. Apparently that Wagner has used the definition somewhere in the opera, and we kind of say, oh, okay, that's really interesting. You know, we have the definition of God's child that comes directly from Wagner, and that AI has, you know, confirmed it by itself. Later on, it turned out that it was a big lie. You know, it invented it completely, which is, you know, something that we kind of like very much, because there was one thing that we were missing with AI straight away, and that was a humor and mistakes and humor. That's a thing that, you know, that AI, that the artificial intelligence does not really have much, or at least that's how we thought, so that it doesn't have you know, much sense for it. But now, recently, we've already discovered that even this was already incorporated. So what to do, you know, what can we do? Of course, we can again use it as a tool. And I think it's our responsibility to till where do we use this tool. But it's definitely a very radical moment. And, you know, as I said, we don't really have you know, we are not rejecting AI entirely. Yes, well, that would be stupid, because it is here, it's going on, it will develop. It's, you know, but how to use it that it still makes sense, because Otherwise, if it reproduces itself, it's just going to be, it, you know, as you said, machines are going to listen this enormous amount of music production and everything, and then we are completely surplus. What to do? What should we do? Should we go, you know, and fishing, you know?
That sounds nice.
Sounds nice. Sounds nice, yes, but why not? Maybe.
Are you? It looks like you have a pretty extensive European tour planned.
Yeah, for now, still, let's say, extensive. I don't. It's a question
not
how long.
As extensive as you would like, I'm sure.
A question how long will this, you know, will this kind of things, will the tours still make sense in the future also? But yeah, for now, it's still, let's say, still, it still looks that it does make sense. Although the whole input that we are putting in and the outcome is absolutely makes no sense. Yes, I would say.
How do you think about taking this album and creating a stage performance?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we are doing right now. We are putting together the whole stage program. And again, you know, it looks like that things here are also changing very much in terms of the stage performance. You know, I saw recently Kanye West performance in LA, which was, of course, absolutely incredible. But, you know, he doesn't even have the band on stage. We still have a band on stage. He doesn't have anyone, which is, you know, maybe the only possible direction. I mean, he shouldn't be on stage also, so to say. Yeah. I don't know. And with all these new Las Vegas huge venues, the Golden Eye or whatever in Las Vegas, does it, you know, the band looks completely, totally small on stage. Does it still make sense? I mean, that's a question. And this is something that we'd have to think about in the future, if there is any future out there still.
Why do you sound so skeptical?
Well, you know, we live in a very crazy time that where you don't know, did the future already happen, and we are now kind of, you know, imploding into some kind of bizarre black hole or something. I mean, you know, how you wouldn't be skeptical in the times as they are right now. We used to tour the States. We did several tours in the States. Now it's absolutely impossible because it's for us. Because
that was,
it just
that was going to be one of my questions was, can you come to the US? Will we see you here?
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to. Okay, we have performed in North Korea, so that's one thing where they might not let us in. And we have, you know, we did a project in Iran, quite a big one with Iranian composers. That's another thing that, you know, that the States might not let us in, probably. And although we have a very good Slovenian connection in the next to the president, but it's very, very tough. It's tough also in... you know, it's simply too expensive for us to go to the States and do a, you know, a tour. Yeah. Makes no sense.
So Europe for now.
Europe for now. We okay. might go to yeah. We might go to actually to Asia a little bit. To I don't know. This time to South Korea if they let us in, and maybe. We are cooking something in Japan, Taiwan, and Hong Kong, but more or less we are going to stick to Europe. We did want to go. We had a big plan to do something in Iran just before the war, but unfortunately, you know, now it's not a very good time.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible time for going to Iran right now. Yeah, the musicians that you worked with there, what was the contact? Can you tell our listeners a little about the contact?
Yeah, I mean, we did this project called Alamut, which is actually a symphonic project, Laibach with symphonic orchestra, a little bit experimental, electronic, symphonic, you know, that kind of thing. And the whole thing is based on the story that was written by a Slovenian writer Vladimir Bartol in 1936, and published in 1936 in Trieste, Italy, which is also the part of Italy that's lots of Slovenian population live. And this was at the time of uprising of fascism in Italy. So the book was ironically dedicated to Benito Mussolini. But the story is actually happening in Iran in 11th century in Iran, in this castle Alamut. The book is actually translated in English language, and you can find it in the States. And it's happening in Iran. It's after the true story. The all the main characters were the historic figures. So there was this Hassan ibn Saba, also a historic figure, a self-proclaimed prophet and the leader of Ismaili state, fighting against the Seljuk Turks in Iran at the time, with his own fanatic army that he trained in this castle. Impenetrable castle of Alamut, a kind of Spartan army, which he wanted to use for, for political. He didn't have a huge army, but he had this completely fanatical army that he was trying to use for basically a very specific target, political targets, and this Fedayini, his army, Fedayini. He actually tricked them that he has a key of heaven. He drugged them, and overnight he took them into the other part of the castle where there were girls, wine, etc., gardens, paradise, so to say. So they woke up in this paradise and they were, completely crazy. They couldn't believe it. And then they drugged them again with hashish. Move them back into into the Spartan part of the castle, and Hassan ibn Saba, the leader, he told them, "You can, go back to the paradise whenever if you are going to do what Allah demands from you, what actually, if you're going to follow my commands, which means you have to do basically suicide." In front of, the big political figures of that time, And so this book was, these are the famous assassins and hashashins. You probably heard about that because
Yeah.
William Burroughs was writing about it, and some other guys. Marco Polo brought the story back to Europe. So that's something that official Iranian politics, the official Iranian state, that's something that they don't really like to hear very much. But the fact is that that was it's a historical it's the story that actually existed. Yes, that it was really going on. And I think the whole story was very it was very, how do you say, relevant, very actual when 9/11 happened, and later on again, and it's coming up again and again, more and more. And the main motto of the book is actually nothing is true. Everything is allowed, everything is possible, everything is allowed. Which, of course, this is, a general motto that is dominating today the media and, you know, the politics and everything, so to say. We've invited, because this is happening in Iran, we thought, okay, it would be nice that we do the whole thing, also the presentation or the concert, possibly also in Iran, and that we create it together with some Iranian composers, because we wanted to get some specific moments, you know, their own views on the story, which we did. We've traveled to Tehran and we have met several contemporary composers and conductor and choir and so on, and we have invited them into the project. And yeah, we visited later on, you know, the officials in the Iranian government, the Minister of Culture, who turned out to be a big Slavoj Žižek fan. And, you know, we went to foreign ministry, to the ambassador Iranian over here in Slovenia and so on. So it was the whole setup. We would actually perform it, but then unfortunately, due to this war, we were stopped. But we have performed it in Europe on several occasions with our Iranian guests. The other important thing is, of course, that Khomeini, when he came on power in 1979, he basically wanted to forbid music in general. Luckily, he didn't, but he forbid only several, you know, kind of things within the music, like, you know, women cannot sing a solo and that kind of nonsense. But the music in the old-fashioned Persia and also in Iran, it used to be super, you know, important. Yes. And also in the 70s, 80s, you had big festivals of contemporary music in Iran, and all these important guys, you know, from the rest of the world were coming there and doing massive and very, very important and classical shows, experimental shows, electronic shows, and so on. So that's a kind of background that we wanted to, you know, return back in.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to talk through that. The record is released on the 1st of May, is that right?
1st of May, yes.
Yes. Okay, so looking forward to it.
The day of the, you know, when from the time when work still had some, the labor still had some sense.
Yes. Yes. To the time when it has no sense.
Yes.
Yvonne, it's very nice to meet you, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Salam alaikum.
And that was Ivan Novak from the band Laibach, industrial band from what was then Yugoslavia when they formed in 1980 to 82. And then Slovenia after the dissolution of Yugoslavia. And they have become fairly notorious, I would say. They're sparkers of controversy and investigators of all of the buttons that make us operate the way that we do in our culture and society. And they have a new album out called Music that addresses surveillance and the algorithm and the kind of contemporary AI-influenced decision-making landscape that we live in and the sort of culture that it feeds us back. So I want to thank Yvonne for coming on and speaking about their music. Of course, you are listening to Vocal Fry here on WFMU. I'm Dan Boda, and this is a spot on the WFMU airwaves from 8 to 9 every Tuesday night where we try to answer the question, what is the weirdest sound that the human voice can make? And this is part of our ongoing mission to change the world through music, one yodel at a time. And then you know, we'll bring in the throat singing troops after that, sort of like the Sadakar army, and, you know, to wipe up any stragglers of the old guard. So this is an important task that we need your assistance on. And glad to be able to speak with Yvonne and share some of Leibach's new music this week for you. Coming up, I have two guests scheduled and some others in the works. I'll have here live in the studio performing next week between 8 and 9, Charmaine Lee, an amazing Australian vocalist who has been living as an expat in New York for quite some time now. And her last visit to WFMU and to Vocal Fry was, I think, 2017 or 18. So it's been a really long time. Her music has changed and grown quite a bit since that time. So I'm very excited that she'll be here next week to share her music again. And then on the 28th, in 2 weeks, we'll have Time Trout here. And I encourage you to Google Time Trout just to, you know, try to find the band. There is another band called Time Trout. But Time Trout Band will narrow it down to two, and it'll minimize the sort of trout fishing in America references and the just, I mean, really, really, really deep well of trout fishing videos that you will otherwise find your way into. So definitely, definitely, definitely worth checking out Time Trout. And if you have a chance to tune in 2 weeks, they'll be here performing live. Our own DJ, Dave Mandel, who does the prog rock show and prog adjacent rock show called It's Complicated on Monday nights. He plays bass in the group. And then Viv Coringham, who is an improvising vocalist, who was a guest here with me maybe 2 months ago now. She is the vocalist in the group. So anyway, very excited about both of those things. And I have a little more music for you here from Leibach. We're going to hear the title track, Music. Both of these tracks that I played for you from their new album feature Wiyala. And yeah, and we'll hear a few other things and then it will be time to go.
Music. The key. Music. The answer. Music. The power. Music. My life. Music. Don't you know it? Music. Don't you get it? Music. I'm sure you do. Music is the food of love.
I dream of music. 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 I dream of music.
Music is a danger zone. Music is sensation. Music is the big unknown. It's the source and revelation.
I dream of music. 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 I dream of music.
I'm sick of music.
Music.
music. I dream of 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 music.
I dream of music. I dream of music. I dream of music. I dream of music.
I think of music.
I think of music. I think of music. I think of music. I think of music. I sleep with music. I sleep with music. I sleep with music. I sleep with music. I'm here for music. I'm here for music. I'm here for music. I'm here for music.
I'm sick of music. I'm sick of music. I'm sick of music. I'm sick of music. I'm sick of music. I'm sick of music. I'm sick of music. I'm sick. Deep sick.
Let me see. Ooh.
Oh yeah, disco is the new hardcore. Feel it in your heart, in your soul, in the soles of your feet. You're listening to The Last Moments of Vocal Fry here this week. I'm Dan Boda. I'll be back with you. Perhaps we'll have to find out whether DJ Purple Haze will be with me next week. I had a great conversation earlier with Ivan Novak of Liebach. So really, thanks to him and thanks to the folks at Mute Records who made that happen. And I'll leave you to groove on until Kenraplex takes over, because just, you know, enjoy these moments of groove before it's time to freak out. Here on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And we're online all the time, of course, at WFMU.org. See you next time. Live music from Charmaine Lee next week.
Of the lonely coast.